www.thepeoplesofgod.org. But anyhow, if you're here and this morning and you have need healing in your ears, and you believe that God's good enough and loves you enough that He would change that situation in your life, the anointing is upon me to minister healing in that area. Amen. And so what I'm going to ask you to do, instead of me coming back to each one of your seats, why don't you come on up here and we'll get to minister to you that way. Is there anybody? Raise your hand if there's any. Okay. Well, come on. Just come on if there is. I didn't know. You assume if the Lord leads you that way that there would be a person or two maybe. All right. Of course, this wouldn't be the whole congregation. We're not having you come because you have a friend that has this. This is if you need healing in your ears, even if you need something recreated in there. God's big. Thank you, congregation, for those amens. Every wife should tell their husband, you need to go up there and get your hearing fixed. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord. Glory to God. God's big. God's going to help you. Are you ready to receive, sir? My Lord, in Jesus' name. Be healed. Oh, be healed. Be healed. Ah, be healed. Now let me stop 1 second. We'll get to the other half here in just a second. You know, if I was passing out $100 bills, I dare say that folk would be a little bit happier than the people that are coming to do what $100 to receive what $100 bill can't get you. I'm not saying, I'm just saying, you know what I'm saying? You know, if you have expectation,
come on. Amen.
There's a smile on your face. You know, if a wife comes home and said, honey, we're expecting. Unless you've been trying not to expect, then it's usually a happy thing, you know what I mean? Hallelujah. Be healed. Receive. Receive it. Receive. Thank you, Father. In the congregation, let's lift up your hands and just thank God for His healing mercies. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's a healer. He's a miracle worker. Amen. He's a good God. He's a good God. And he's provided a variety of methods by which we can obtain and grasp healing. And of course, probably the best method is to just see it in the Word of God, believe it, receive it, take hold of it. But you see, because everybody's faith isn't developed to be able to do that, right? You know, if you have your car break down and everybody needs to get out and push, and all you look back and everybody in your car is in a car seat. You're going to have to get some folk who are a little better developed than that. Because you can't tell your 2 and 3 year old, okay, y'all push, I'll steer. And with spiritual things, it's exactly the same way. You know, everybody's not developed, especially if you're young in the things of God. But see, God loves us so much. He so wants to get people's help to it that He'll anoint different ones. And we say anoint, meaning that He'll flow His power through people.
Yeah, yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
And some folk would say, well, I don't believe God does that today. Well, you believe wrong.
Right.
Sure He does.
Yes, He
sure
does.
He does. If He didn't, it'd be better to go back to the day when He did.
Right, you know? Right, come on.
But no, we're in the day He uses people. Matter of fact, there's not a lot He can do without some people.
That's right.
Amen. And so God will get some folk to come alongside and help.
Yeah.
And isn't He good to do that?
Yeah.
And He'll interrupt a service to do it.
Yes, yes He will.
Amen. Praise God, praise God, praise God.
Praise
God. Glory. I will always worship, always Hallelujah. I know some of you are looking at me like, you're a little different. You have no idea. I don't try to be different. I'm just trying to fit into my piece in the body of Christ.
Yeah, amen.
Well, how many have ever put a puzzle together and you found a piece and you're like, that's a weird looking piece? Well, so I got that one. What can I tell you? But I'm just trying to fit, you know, just trying to do my part, just trying to be in my place. Not trying to, you don't want me to be like your pastor, do you? I mean, there's only one of him. Thank God. And he's a good one, but there's only one. There's only one. And so I'll just be me, and if you don't like it, talk to God about it and pray for me. I woke up this morning and right when I opened my eyes, as soon as I opened my eyes, I started hearing and seeing some things in the spirit. Wasn't the direction I thought we'd go. So I say that to let you know, and so you'll understand, if I don't have the most perfectly formed outline of what I'm about to say, it's because I hadn't come up with an outline. But I want to obey God, share some things with you. It might not be the only thing we do, but it's where we'll start this morning. And I'm going to ask you to take your scriptures, if you would, turn to the 22nd chapter of Luke. And believe that in obeying God this morning, some good things will take place.
That's right.
And some, if I could say this, some bad things will be averted.
Yeah.
And missed.
That's right.
We have a good God.
Amen.
And how many know on the opposite side, it's, you know, not worthy of a whole lot of our attention, but there's a bad devil.
There's a bad devil.
We give our attention to the good God.
That's right.
But there is a devil. And he's a schemer. He's a planner. You know, God, how many know God has a plan? If you think that God does everything randomly and that this world is just spinning by accident, you know, and we're just kind of here floating, no, you need to get in this church. Come to Sunday school. Come to all of it. You know what I mean? Get fully immersed, because we have a book, as Pastor was saying earlier. We have a book where God's spoken to us. And that book lets us know that God has a detailed plan, an orchestrated plan, of which everybody on earth is a part. Amen. None of you are here randomly. None of you are here accidentally. There's no such thing as, okay, well, this one's important and that one's important. Well, if you read in the New Testament, it talks about how the body of Christ is like a human body. And you know, you start talking about how unimportant you are and how I'm just the little toe. Well, let's cut your little toe off and see if it's important. Huh? See, would it affect the rest of your body if we just, you know, took a, I don't know, just grab your foot, put it up to a meat slicer and just kind of got that little toe right off, huh? You think the rest of your body would know about it?
No.
Oh, yeah. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. And so everybody in the body of Christ, you're important. You're important. And a lot of folk come to a church, maybe a church that's this size and where there's a good number of people. You know, I mean, we could fit more in, couldn't we?
Oh, yeah.
And if there was more than that came, we'd make room for them.
Yeah, that's right.
But it's easy to come to a church like this, good number of people, and say, well, I'm just, you know, I'm not one of the staff. I'm not one of the front row people. So I can just sit back here and I'm not very important to this church. Not so. Listen, you're here whether you recognize it or not. You're here because God's brought you here. And you're here because God's connected you here. And it's vital that you bring your part.
Amen.
You know, besides losing parts of your body, another bad thing is when parts of your body just stop bringing their supply to the body.
Yeah.
Just, if you have an organ that stops working, boy, don't think it doesn't mess up the whole thing.
Yeah, right. That's right. That's right.
And so you might be swallowing hard. You might be thinking, oh, Lord, do I really have, you mean I have responsibility? I mean, you have responsibility to the body of Christ. You have responsibility to your local church. You have responsibility to this church. And don't confuse the fact that no one's forcing you to take it. And don't confuse that and think, well, I don't have any responsibility. You have responsibility by virtue of the fact that God joined you to this family.
Right?
In a natural family, everybody ought to have some chores, right? I mean, it's not a happy family when mom is doing everything. Do you have some responsibilities at home? Right. Do you do those? And is everything happy when you do it? And if you don't, tell me exactly what mom says. No, I'm just kidding. Does mom turn into the Incredible Hulk if you don't do your response? Amen. And so God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for your life. Every one of you. Every one of you. And it's a good plan. Let me tell you this. It's better than your best design. It's better than your best dreams. It's better than your best wishes. It's His plan. And part of His plan is for you to function in a local body, a church. Amen. And you won't fulfill His plan by accident. You've got to learn some things. You've got to know some things. Hence the services. Hence the teaching. Hence all the wise pastor always talking about the word, the word, the word. Because it's the word. It's the only way we know the truth. It's the only way we find out these things. Amen. Amen. And so, you know, if you're here today under the sound of my voice, well, and if you're part of this church and you're out on your boat watching by live stream, it's not the same.
Not the same.
It's not the same. And if that phone falls in the water, just don't say we didn't, you know. Because these services, there's anointing, and anointings move things, you know. Praise the Lord. And so having said all that, God has a plan for you. But I'm going to know the devil's also a schemer. And the devil also is a planner. Listen, if he wasn't, he'd never get anything done if he tried to operate randomly. And so it seems like the only ones living randomly a lot of times are God's people. People on the earth, you know, well, we shouldn't. We should be hooked up with His plan.
Amen.
And so, as I woke up this morning, praise the Lord, this passage, just as though it was standing right in front of my face, you know, I heard it in my spirit, saw it. And in verse 31, Luke 22, verse 31, it says, "The Lord said, Simon, Simon," how many know who He's talking about? This guy we know today is Peter. "Simon, Simon, behold, Satan has desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat." And the Lord's talking, and He said, "But I've prayed for you, that your faith fail not. And when you are converted or changed," so there was a change that needed to take place. "When you're changed, strengthen your brethren." And Peter's response is classic. Peter's response was this: "Lord, I'm ready. I'm good. I'm good." How many know if the Lord says you ain't good?
Right?
But how many athletes, former athletes, and by saying former, I'm not saying that you're not athletic now. I just mean when you were in school, you participated in some kind of athletics, okay? What did you participate in?
Tennis.
So if you participated in a real sport, no, I'm just kidding. You might be interested to know this, and this has nothing to do with my message at all, but that's all right. I was a ball boy for professional tennis all growing up. My mom was a tennis umpire. I mean, did all the tournaments, Wimbledon and you know, all the ones around the world. And this was back in the day where, some of them were Jimmy Connors, John McEnroe.
Yeah.
And we used to have video, but you know, you put stuff on videotape, eventually it goes bad, so not anymore. But we had video of Jimmy Connors screaming at my mom when my mom's in the chair. My mom just looks straight ahead because they train you how to deal with these guys. Screaming at before instant replay and all that. So
right. So
I know tennis is a real sport.
Yes.
But if you played a real sport, though, you raise your hand. What did you play?
Basketball.
Basketball. There we go. So how many know mentally you can still do everything today that you did back then? Huh? You're just as fast, right? You watch it on TV and you're like, I can do that.
Yeah.
I can do that. I did that. I can do that. Did that does not equal can do that.
Right?
And so it's easy to think you're strong. How many ever watch somebody in the gym lifting weights and they're grunting and struggling? You're like, I can do that. Huh? Well, let's load you down. And let's see how well you can do that. Now, has anybody who raised their hand before, have you tried to do it since then, like recently, and realized that you can't do it like you did it?
Yeah,
spiritually, it's the same thing. So Jesus tells Peter, Satan's desired to have you.
Yeah, right.
Come on. And Peter says, I'm ready.
Yeah,
you wish. You wish. And a lot of people, you start talking about faith, you start talking about the things of God, they're like, yeah, I can do that. Yeah, I can, because I've heard it before, I can do that.
Wow.
Huh?
Come on, Reverend.
I can move those mountains. Have you ever moved anything? There's a verse, I'm going to quote it probably incorrectly, and it's kind of back in one of the Ecclesiastes or something like that. Talks about, you might could help me, talks about, don't talk about running with the horsemen if you can't keep up with the footmen.
Yeah, right.
Or talk running with the horses. You ain't going to outrun the horse if you can't win a foot race against a person.
Right.
You ever read that?
Yes.
It's in there. Just start in Genesis, read it till you find it, let me know where it is. And so Jesus tells Peter, Satan has desired you. And this is really interesting, and I like that in the King James it actually puts certain things in italics to let you know that the word's not there in the original language. And that helps us because Satan's desired you to sift as wheat. The word you, sift you as wheat, the word you is not really there.
Right.
If your Bible has that, you'll notice I'm correct. Satan's desired you to sift as wheat. When you sift something, what do you do? What does that sifting do? That sifting separates, right? Anybody, you grew up and you had those little hand sifters? Chicka, 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 chicka. What in the world it did, I have no idea. But it must have separated something. Well, Jesus is telling Peter, there's the enemy is desiring some separation.
Okay. Yeah, come on.
He's desiring to separate. He's desiring to sift.
Right.
Not just you, but who was Peter? Peter was one of the leaders.
Yeah. That's right.
Right? The enemy's desiring separation. And it was going to start with Peter. But Jesus said, I prayed for you that your faith would fail not. That your faith would fail not. Glory to God.
Glory to God.
And what's so precious to me is that it's not just a little bit later from this that we see Peter leading strong. Right? Because right after this, Peter didn't have his best moment. Right? He denied the Lord. And he wouldn't hear it. Jesus tried to tell him. Peter wouldn't even hear of it. He wouldn't even hear of it.
Yeah.
Jesus, dude, go lay hands on people. I like when you do that. Let's stop talking to me about this stuff.
Right.
Do one of those nice teachings. But don't bring me this rebuke-sounding stuff.
Come on. Come on, Reverend.
Come on, what was it? Jesus said, Peter, Simon, Satan has desired you.
Right.
Jesus is seeing something that Peter's not seeing.
Yeah.
And he's trying to warn him. And he's trying to let him know. And the good thing is, Peter did stumble, but he got back up. Amen. Now, how would the devil sift? How would the devil separate? Now, I'll answer that in a second. But as I woke up this morning, and this was on my heart, and I started, you know, I didn't go to bed with this scripture on my heart. Hadn't read this recently. And so you get a clue. Oh, maybe it's the Lord.
Yeah.
And so I'm sitting there just this morning meditating on it and just because I felt like I had some direction, you know, for these services, and we'll still get to it. Might be tonight, but the more I meditated on it, the more I felt like I was supposed to minister this to this church.
Yeah, very good.
Now, why would Satan be desiring Peter? I'll answer the other question in a little bit that I said I'd answer. Why would Satan be desiring Peter? Was it Peter's good looks?
No.
No. Satan is looking at what's about to happen. Right? As much as he knows of it. And he's seeing this thing is going to explode in a good way. This thing is going to multiply. This thing is going to go here. And Satan's like, I can't have this. We can't have this. What can I do? What can I do? And the only way to conquer this thing is to get it divided. The only way to conquer it is to get some separation in here and make it into a bunch of little stuff and take it a bunch of different directions, a bunch of little directions. But you got to get the leaders to go a different way. You got to get the leaders distracted. Right?
That's right.
So Peter, first of all, Peter hasn't been the most stable character in the boat so far anyhow.
Right.
You know what I mean? And so let's get Peter. Let's deal with Peter. To cause separation, to cause division in the ranks. Well, think about Peter's history so far. He'd be a real easy one to cause division.
Yeah, right.
Kind of had a little trouble controlling that apparatus underneath his nose, you know what I mean?
Right.
Had mouth problems,
right?
Would say the first thing that came into his mouth. You know? When he's up, he's up. When he's down, he's down. Like a yo-yo Christian, up and down, up and, hey, here we are, let's build three tabernacles, let's stay forever. Let's be quiet, let's reverence what's going on and stop running your mouth, Peter.
That's good.
Hello, but you know, we love Peter, don't we, because he reminds us of who?
Ourselves.
Us. And so, there's a sifting that the enemy wanted to bring to the camp, and it was averted. It was averted. And I dare say this, anytime the enemy sees progress, anytime the enemy sees people moving into bigger and moving into greater, especially when God leads them to take a step of faith and they take that step.
Yeah.
The enemy's like, this has to stop.
Yeah.
This has to stop. And so how does he get it stopped? Let's find out where can I get in to bring some division. Where can I get in to separate?
Yeah. Amen. Come on. Yeah. That's right.
Should I open the altar now or should we wait? What do you think? If I'm talking to you, just look straight ahead. Nobody will know it. Just smile, look straight ahead. We won't know we're talking about you. Well, how many know that this ministry, this church, I mean, in recent months, there's been some stepping out, right? Within the last year, there's been a lot of stepping out. There's been a lot of branching out. We haven't even seen the explosion but we're putting the logs on this thing, right?
Amen.
And then pouring the lighter fluid on it.
Yeah.
We haven't even seen, you know, we're starting to see some things, but we haven't even seen all the effects of it yet. And I'll just tell you, the enemy is not pleased. He's displeased.
Right.
Well, oh, no, don't let that scare you at all.
No.
Huh? Because the enemy would take this part of the message and he'd say, stop all that stepping out, stop all that faith stuff, and you won't have any problems with me.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
The enemy would love to make a deal with you. Here's the deal. You just don't bother me and I won't bother you. Deal?
Yeah.
Deal?
Yeah.
He'll try to get you to shake on it.
Real.
Is it a deal?
Yeah.
You don't bother me. You just back off of this. Back off of that. You back off, and I'll back off.
Yep.
Do we have a deal?
Oh, come on.
And if he'll get you to shake on it, and you'll walk away thinking that we have a deal, the second you turn your back, boom.
Yep.
Yeah, that's right.
He is a liar. Liar, liar.
Oh, yeah.
There is no deal.
Yes, no deal.
That's right.
And the more you bother me, the more we step out. The more you bother me, the more. That's how you shut the devil up.
Amen.
You shut the devil up by obeying God, not backing down. You remember that? I don't know if you ever heard this story about Brother Hagin where he had gotten filled with the Spirit, spoken in other tongues, and not too long after that, you know, he's pastoring, and he got in his office and he said, well, I'm just going to pray in other tongues for an hour.
Yeah.
And he said it was the hardest, longest hour I've ever done anything.
Yeah.
Because, you know, he hadn't developed. Would you believe that Brother Hagin wasn't always the Brother Hagin that we know? There was a time where he was probably knew a whole lot less than you and had to develop spiritually just like you do. And so he's just learning these things, and he said, I got through that hour, and he said, and there's the devil. I mean, almost like an audible voice. Wasn't probably audible, but he heard the devil from out here, not the spirit inside, but from out here saying, well, you just wasted an hour. Well, see, the thing about Brother Hagin was he was a fighter. He didn't give up. He didn't just say, yeah, I just wasted an hour. He said, just for that, devil, I'm going to pray 2 hours.
Good. That's right. Come on now.
And he didn't. He prayed 2 hours. He said it was slightly easier than that first hour. Because, you know, you get in the flow.
You get in the flow, yeah.
And so he prays those 2 hours, and the devil said, now you just wasted 3 hours total. And he said, devil, I'm going to double it just for that. And if you say anything after that, I'm going to pray 4 hours now. And if you say anything after that, I'm going to double it again. And a little bit into that 4 hours, he said he was going to pray. He said, I hit a gusher.
Yes. Yeah.
And he said, and God talked to me, and there was the release, and we were done. But he said the devil did shut up, because the devil don't want anybody praying that long.
Right.
Yeah. Amen. So there's a way to get the enemy quiet.
Yeah. Come on now.
Amen.
So good.
Amen. Yeah. But just to understand this. And this would be true at a lot of places, but understand this for this place. That the enemy is looking to see who can I use to divide.
Yeah, right.
You might ask, what did Pastor Tim tell you? Nothing. We haven't even, we hardly said hi this morning. Just got here and here we are. I don't know if any, and there might be something that he knows. It might not be something. I don't know. I'm just obeying God. The enemy's looking, who can I use? Who can I use? Who is it who will give me their mouth? I mean, you know, the devil would love your whole body if you'd give it to him. Most of us aren't going to do that, right? But he'll just take your mouth if he can just get your mouth. And if he can't get anybody's mouth, he can't do anything.
That's right.
I said, if he can't get anybody's mouth in this church, he's silent in this church. He needs a mouthpiece
he does.
In order to speak in the earth. He needs a voice. He needs a body to go somewhere in the earth. And guess what? So does God.
That's true.
If you won't give God your mouth, he can't say anything.
Right.
Won't give God your body, he can't go anywhere. So the answer to the devil's question, who can I get? It needs to be nobody.
Nobody.
No one. And you know this, if the devil wants to divide a nation, oh, we won't even talk about that. But if, and he does, right? If he wants to divide the nation, you don't start with national stuff. You start small. And it's more powerful that you start small and get it to spread. And it gets more powerful that way. And so whether we're talking about a church, whether we're talking about a community, talking about a nation, the enemy will start, he'll divide families.
Yeah, sure. Yes, he will. Absolutely.
Now, for this church here, watch yourself, families.
Yeah, come on.
Families, watch yourselves.
Yeah.
And what we mean by that is, keep the door shut on any areas that the enemy could get in.
There you go. Yeah.
Keep strife out. Actually, this is not a book plug, but if you read Prosperity Killers, the things that will help keep you prospering are the same things that will help every other area of your life. You know what I mean? For instance, strife is one of those prosperity killers.
Sure.
It'll kill everything.
Yes, it will.
It's not just confined to that one area.
Right.
It'll kill your marriage. So you got to keep strife out of your house.
Yeah, that's right.
Everybody say, we love you, Reverend Joel. Why didn't none of y'all say it? Say, we love you, Reverend Joel.
We love you, Reverend
Thank
Joel.
You. Love you, too. Love you, too. You cannot come to church and be and put on the fake show of everything's good. Everything's all right. And then you turn into somebody totally different the second you're in the car.
Huh?
Now listen, don't let the devil condemn you at this point and say, oh, well, just stop going because you don't measure. No. But press into the things of God and take care of some of these areas. Shut the door on some of these areas.
Yes, that's right.
Amen.
Yes.
Amen.
Praise God.
And so I love that if you look in the book of Acts, you see a united, unified group.
Yes. Oh, yeah.
Really, for the first time ever.
Right.
I mean, Jesus worked on them. But, you know, didn't he? They were 3 years with Jesus. And were still fighting up to the very end about who's greater.
Yeah, right,
weren't they?
Right.
Three and a half years with him all the time.
Right.
And Jesus, I mean, the example of patience, I've never seen anybody. Jesus basically told them at the end, guys, there's something else you need. It's
yeah.
Like, I've done everything I can. But there's something else you need.
Yeah.
Get in Jerusalem. Tarry till you receive power from on high. But understand this, why didn't Jesus, you know, even get better results than he did? They weren't born again yet. That experience wasn't available. And so once they were born again, once they could have the life of God and the Spirit of God residing in them, well, then things got a little easier. But even that, Jesus said, there's something more. There's power from on high. You guys need to be full of something besides yourself.
Right. There you go.
You guys need to be full of something besides your flesh and your preferences and your humanity and your unrenewed thinking.
Yeah.
You need to get full of something more.
Yeah, right.
Well, we know that experience as the baptism in the Holy Spirit.
Yes.
Oh, how many know that'll change everything?
That'll change it all.
I said that'll change everything.
Yeah.
If you, how dramatic is that change? Well, let me tell you what. Having been raised as a Jew, which I was raised Jewish, had my bar mitzvah ceremony, went to Hebrew school all those years, you know, grew up as a Jew, and then finally, you know, kind of drifted away from the what we called our temple and things like that, because honestly, if it made any difference in my life tangibly, meaning on a day-to-day basis, I couldn't tell it. And I was interested in other things. Now, if it had been real, it would have been harder to leave.
Yeah,
but when there's just not a whole lot of substance to it, goodbye.
Yeah.
Can I get a witness?
Yeah.
Right? You might not have been but how many know that under the name of Christianity, there's a whole lot of things that are just basically as empty.
Right. Oh, yeah.
But I'm telling you, in 1986, January 1st, about 6 o'clock in the morning, we'd been up all night. I was partying with friends in Hollywood, Florida, where I grew up, and we had driven to the beach to watch the sun come up after being up all night on New Year's. And we drove to the beach and we sat on the beach, and I'm there with my friend in the car who had told me for months now about Jesus. Now he wasn't, you know, we weren't drinking bad and stuff like that, but we were just around going from house to house, party to party, doing what I was lost. He was young in the Lord, but he was saved. But he told me, Jesus, 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 for all these months. And I said, would you shut up? Heaven and hell. I said, let me tell you which one you ought to go to.
You know what I mean?
We didn't want to hear it. But I mean, I came that night, I realized nothing is satisfying me.
I'm
getting ready to start full scholarship to the best music school for what I was studying in the country. And I had no satisfaction. I was empty. And so that night in the car, watching the sun come up, I just sat there and I prayed. Not even very scriptural, but how many know God can look at your heart and he'll say, I know what they meant.
Yeah.
And I said, God, if there's anything to what I'm being told about Jesus, here's my life. Take it. Do something with it. And boom, I mean, instantly this peace came over me, and I went home, and I used to never sleep well because, you know, you're hearing what my friends tell me about Jesus, and it would mess with me. And, you know, but I went home and slept so good, and then I woke up the next day, and the sky was more blue than it had ever been, and the grass was more green than it had ever been. You know what I mean? My hair was more red than it had ever been, and I had more of it you know what I mean? But I mean, just the impartation of the life of God to my spirit was dramatic. How many would say you had, whether it was a similar experience to mine, but you say, that it was dramatic coming to Christ. But then these years later, I received this experience called the baptism in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Huh. And when I learned to walk in the light of that, the sky got bluer yet. The grass got bluer yet. My hair, you know. My wife got prettier. You know what I mean? Everything. What was that? What was that? Being filled with God. And when the disciples got filled with God, those bunch of misfits, the ones that were fighting, the ones that Satan desired to get in, tear things apart, because they got full, all of a sudden you start seeing these words. They're in one accord. They're in unity. They're in one accord. And things are growing and things are popping. And then all of a sudden things are growing and popping. Now we're going good. We're going good. Here we are. And then there arises a murmuring. If you ever read Acts chapter 6, there's a murmuring that comes up. We're not getting the same food rations that the other people are getting.
Right.
Whining and complaining.
Right.
They're not recognizing my gifts at that church. They're not using me like I want to be used. And then when you call on them to use something, they change their song and they go, they're just using me. Which is what you prayed to begin with. I'm not appreciated. And and it was Peter at the head, at one of the heads of this thing, that said, we ain't going to put up with that.
That's right.
Get some people who are filled with God, who can be over this and restore unity. And once unity was restored, see what had happened. The devil saw that. He saw all the people being added, and he said, we got to sift. We got to divide. We got to drive something in here. And it's amazing. The best he would come up with was that the ministry of helps wasn't functioning as well as it should have. Well, it's important that it does function like it should, you know, obviously. And but they got that thing closed up. They got that door shut. And the enemy had to sit back and just wait while people came in, while the power flowed, and he had no door to get in. He had no way to get in. That's what we want to do. Keep every door shut. That doesn't mean you're devil focused. You know what I mean by that? That doesn't mean you're focused on the problem. Doesn't mean you're going around looking for open doors. No, look at God and he'll show you and he'll help you see. Get to church. Amen. Hear what's being taught. Do it in your life and you'll see, there was an open door. Love is an open door. And I'm just sorry, my daughter's watching. She'd be like, don't sing it. That was from Frozen. Anybody see Frozen? You've seen Frozen, haven't you? Y'all haven't? Okay, let me stay focused on the message. I get pulled off too quickly sometimes. Amen.
Amen.
Hey,
so
what are we going to do?
Yeah.
Keep the door shut?
Yeah.
Huh? Shut to the enemy, open to God, and then live full.
That's right.
I said live full. And you'll be amazed. The enemy won't be able to divide things. Amen. I'll just tell you, without knowing any details, without having any special revelation other than what the Lord showed me this morning, I'll just tell you that because of the branching out and stepping out and how bold this church has been, reaching out and just allowing the power of God to flow, the enemy wants to divide this thing. He's looking for a way in. He's looking to, he'll do it. He'll start in marriages if he has to start in marriages. He'll start with people's mouths if he can do it. He'll work through the leadership if he can work through the leadership. He'll go anywhere he can. Just let him find closed doors everywhere. And one of the biggest ways you close the doors is the way the disciples did. That group of fighters, you never hear them fighting among each other again. You never hear it again. Once Jesus left, the Spirit came and they got wall to wall filled with God. You never hear anything that fighting between that group. You know what I mean?
That's
Jesus group.
Amen. That's good.
There arose, there was some division that happened, but they got it taken care of. They kept it shut so it didn't destroy stuff. I'm going to know that protecting the work of God in this region is not just pastor's responsibility.
Right.
It's your responsibility. Amen. Now, I talked about two experiences I had. And I'm closing up here. I don't know. You might be used to your pastor preaching like an hour longer than I do. But that's so you'll come back tonight, okay? But I talked about, if it's okay for me to just share this for a second, I talked about two experiences I had. One, as a Jewish young man. Guys, I had everything in the natural going for me, and I was lost. I didn't know Christ. Amen. The religion I was in didn't impart life to me. The second I said yes to Jesus, everything changed.
Yeah, amen.
A huge weight rolled off my back.
Yeah.
And it's what the Bible calls being born again. You might have just heard that term all your life and thought, well, that's the crazy Christians. No, no, no. We're the normal ones.
Right.
We're the real ones.
Yeah.
But that's all it means is I was born spiritually.
That's right.
And God came to dwell in my heart. And I knew that if I had died, I'd go to be with him in heaven.
Amen.
Now, I want everybody here, if you would just focus real well for just about 2 minutes, I want you to look at me. Just every you know, get off your phone or not, whatever you're doing. Just everybody look up, look at me. If you are here today and you'd say, Reverend Joel, I don't know that I could tell a story like you just told of pointing to a time when I received Christ. I don't know that if I died right now that heaven would be my home. I hope so. I've been good, but I don't know. Well, how many know it's good to be a good person, but being a good person is not the same as being a saved person, as being a Christian. But if that's you and you would like me to include you in my prayer as we close the service today, I want you just real boldly, I know people are looking around, but I want you real boldly, put your hand up. I see it. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Is there another? Two? That's two? Any more? You're here today and you say, I have never, that I know of, made this decision to receive Christ. Anybody else? Today's your day.
Amen.
Today's your, matter of fact, you're not promised tomorrow.
Right.
Huh? And let me tell you, there are no walk-ups in heaven.
Right. Yeah.
You must have reservations, and you can only make reservations for heaven on earth.
Amen. That's right.
And since you don't know when your last day on earth is,
right.
Huh?
Yeah.
And all of us know somebody who got cut off in life sooner than expected. Since you don't know, let's just agree with the Bible where it says, today's the day. Today's the day. Come on now, God's in here right now. And we've had two raise their hands. Is there any more that would be so bold as to say, I need Christ and I know it and I don't care who sees it and who knows it. Just be bold enough. Be man enough. Be woman enough. Is there any more? Is there any more? Okay. Well, we rejoice about, oh, somebody else did raise their hand. Good, 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 good. We rejoice with you.
Yes.
Now, the other thing was this. The other thing was this. I told you about this experience. Once I was saved, and we'll pray with you in just a moment like I said I would. But once I was a Christian, I needed this other experience called the baptism of the Holy Spirit. I need to be filled with the Spirit, right? Jesus told his disciples, guys, you go and you don't go anywhere without this experience, right? And so if you say, I've been born of the Spirit, I know I'm a child of God, but I've never received this infilling of the Spirit with speaking in other tongues, and you want to receive that, you raise your hand real big, real strong, real happy. Yeah, I see your hand. One, two. Is there any more? Three, four. Any more? Any more? We'll take you all. There's not a limit. There's no limit. All can come. Stand up, everybody in the congregation. Is there a particular way you want me to handle this or just, okay. All righty. So listen, we're gonna just pray all together. And so just so the two that raised their hand, they don't feel like, or the three rather that raised their hand, they don't feel like it's just me all alone. No, you got family.
Yeah.
You got family. And so we're gonna pray all together. And those of you that are praying this for the first time, you're gonna receive eternal life now. So everybody, close your eyes. Pray this with me. Father God.
Father God.
Thank you that you love me so much.
Thank you that you love me so much.
That when you saw me in my sin.
That when you saw me in my sin.
You didn't leave me that way. But you sent me a Savior.
I recognize
and I believe
that Jesus is that
Savior. I believe that He died for me.
I believe that He died for me.
And 3 days later, I believe He rose again.
Jesus,
be my Lord.
Take my life.
I submit myself to Your plan.
Do something with me
that would bring You glory.
And I thank You
that I am now Your child.
Part of Your family.
You're my Father.
Thank You, Lord, that I'm saved.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Now, those of you who raised your, and praise God, we rejoice. Do you understand that decision is the most significant, substantial decision that any individual can ever make in their life? And it's not a small thing. We rejoice if even one person, amen, comes to Christ.
Glory to God.
Now, we want to also pray for those who might say, I've been born of the Spirit, haven't been filled with the Spirit. Now, I don't know, you might have a way you like to do this, so I could be happy to turn it over to you. That's hard to do in a big crowd. It'd be easier for those of you to come on down front, if that's okay. So why don't those of you who say, I want to be filled with the Spirit, why don't you just come on down here? Because you're not ashamed of wanting more of God, right?
Right?
So come bold, come quick, come now. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. We'll get the baby filled too. Oh, you'll never get that baby back from her. She loves baby. Come on, everybody. Come on, just get a little closer here. You can line them so I can see you. Praise God. Praise God. Come on up. Just stand right next to, you stand right next to her. And you, ladies, you come on up. Come on up. Just stand right here. Listen, nobody ever got hurt coming to God for anything. Amen. You'll get exactly what you asked for. Now, all of you here, you could say you're a child of God. You've been born again. Is that the case? You know you've been saved. Or you just prayed now for the first time. Either way, that's good. But we're going to just pray and believe God, as He instructed in His Word, that you'll receive the fullness of His Spirit. If you're saved, you have the Spirit of God in you, but the Spirit wants to come upon you and empower you. And here's the thing, it's going to bless you, but it's not just for you. It's for you to be a blessing. It's for you to be able to minister God to other people as well. Would you pray with us then? And again, everybody in the crowd, you pray with us together. We're just going to all lift up our voices together. After we pray, how many know God hears us when we pray, right? After we pray, I'll lay hands on you just a little, just right down the line there quickly. But by faith, you just begin to speak, not out of your head, but out of your spirit. And you're gonna be given utterance, or you're gonna be given the prompting of the Spirit, and you'll speak out words that are unfamiliar. Don't sit there and analyze it. Just speak. As we sometimes say, let her rip, potato chip, right? Everybody close your eyes. And you that are up here, lift a hand to heaven and pray this, everybody, after me. Father God,
thank you
for the gift of the Holy Spirit.
I know He dwells in me,
but I desire Him to fill me.
I receive right now
that clothing with power,
that baptism in the Holy Spirit
that Jesus spoke of.
Fill me
to overflowing
in Jesus'
name.
Amen.
Now, everybody in the congregation that you're filled with the Spirit, you start speaking in tongues. You lift your voice up right now. Go ahead, and we'll lay hands on these. And guys, you begin to speak.
Be filled with the Spirit.
Yes, that's it.
Yes.
Be filled. Just start speaking right out of your heart. Be bold. Be loud. Be filled with the Spirit. Be filled. That's it. Speak out loud. Keep going it for a second in the congregation.
Oh,
The bolder you are, the bolder you are to speak, the stronger your feeling will be. Mashikola karatisto soso dobraj dizes to go danzi dana no gragostes et sedelias to go steshenaranzi chetelaya. Oh, steshigala tostoso gonzanara destigeri. Hallelujah. Oh, now everybody look up here. You may have just spoken a word or two, and your mind may be messing with you, getting in the way. We got some materials that are going to help you, okay, because we want you to leave with what you came for. And God wants you to leave with what you came for. And just know that speaking in tongues for 15 seconds like we did, that's not the end. That's just the beginning. Amen. And you want to get to where you're just filled to overflowing. And so we're going to turn the service over to Pastor. I think they're going to have some materials to give you, some help to give you, including for those who receive Christ today for the first time.
Amen.
And we'll be back here tonight with you at 6:30 and see what God has for you. Praise the Lord.